Grace, peace, and love to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For some, visiting a vineyard in North Coast of California is a dream come true. Likewise, in the Columbia Valley of Washington State, or perhaps even Germany, or Italy, or Spain, or Portugal, or New Zealand, or South Africa, and let's not forget France. But imagine visiting a vineyard only to discover that the tasting room is closed. The fruits of enjoyment have been replaced with drunk workers, and farmers and vintners had gotten lazy in their practice of producing fine wines. You hear in the Old Testament today how it said, "Let me sing the song of my vineyard, for my vineyard." Remember hearing that? Where have all the good grapes gone? You know that song? What happened to the good grapes is the question of the New Testament parable that Jesus said. What happened to the good grapes? Anyone who knows anything about wine producing knows that if you lose good vines and you lose good grapes, you lose everything. Dom Perignon, champagne, should not taste like cheap Chardonnay. You paid for and expected the best, but you got nothing but two-buck chuck. When God plants a vineyard, he expects good grapes, the best. Of course, the metaphor of the vineyard is for the kingdom of God, from which God expects the fruit of faith and love. He expects justice, as he said in the Old Testament, not bloodshed. He expects righteousness, not misdoings. So when God's own people become lazy, when God's people welcome idols into the kingdom and do not act faithful and loyal to God alone, and do not love their neighbors but take advantage of them and ignore their needs, it is as if wild grapes were allowed into the vineyard, choice vineyard of God, and Dom Perignon becomes like two-buck chuck. What will God do? In the Old Testament today, we heard God's anger and action towards his own vineyard when he came and tried to collect the good fruit. He said, "I will remove its hedge and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste." This was a prophecy of Isaiah concerning Israel, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, both which fell in the Old Testament, 722 and 586 respectively, both northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, totally wiped out, the people of God exported, taken out into Assyria, Babylon. That's exactly what happened because wild grapes, idolatry was in God's kingdom. And indeed they fell. And this was a picture of God's mishpat, his judgment, as he revealed it. But in our gospel today, Jesus retells the parable of the vineyard, emphasizing God's mercy for the wicked workers and God's patience all along the way, sending servants, sending servants, sending more servants than the first. And the climax of the parable is when God sent his own son, the heir of the vineyard. "They will respect my son," said the master of the vineyard. But then the parable goes on to foretell how the wicked tenants threw the son out of the vineyard and out into the wilderness and killed him. Obviously, this was foretelling about Jesus' own death that would take place that week. This is Matthew 21. It's during Holy Week. And just a few short days later, he'd be hanging on the cross, the Son of God. By this time, Jesus wasn't trying to change their minds or to foil their evil plot. He was telling them this parable, both of the judgment against them and as a prophecy that the kingdom would be given to other people who produce its fruits. And then what happened after Jesus rose again? The world became full of Christians. Gentiles took over the gospel, if you will, and brought the message of the fruits of the glory and praise that belongs to God. It was no longer contained to just Israel, was it? It's for them too if they repent and believe it, but it's really now a part of the whole world, other people, Gentiles, the earth. Just as God promised in the Old Testament, Abraham, through you, all the nations shall be blessed. Those who believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, those are the ones who are producing the fruits now that God desires, the fruits of faith and love. Those who are intent on farming the vineyard with integrity to produce the fruits, the good grapes, the fruits of faith and love. They do this not by their own works or their will or their intellect or their powers, but by welcoming the heir of the kingdom, Christ. Thus it is true, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, sending his Son. And it is marvelous in our eyes. But what can we do now, now that we know the parable? Well, we could, and we are prone to be lazy, like our forefathers in Israel, in the northern and the southern kingdoms, who forgot God's ways, who became unfaithful to God and ignored his word. When God returns to collect his fruit, will the tasting room be closed? Will there be wild grapes in the vineyard? Will there be Dom Perignon or Two Buck Chuck? If it's the latter, it's hardly worthy of God's effort and time. He's going to send his harvest angels instead to clear the field for him. But God has promised to come again in mercy for those who continue to welcome the Son, the heir, Christ, the heir of the vineyard. Because in Jesus, whom he sent, and knowing that he would be killed, there is forgiveness, isn't there? There's a sacrifice, an innocent one for guilty people. In Jesus, there is refreshment. He gives us a new cup. In Jesus, there's a renewed life because his death and cross abolished death. And by his resurrection, he opened up the way of everlasting life so everybody can enjoy the vineyard. Let the fruits of the vineyard be enjoyed by all because of what Jesus has come to do. Where he gives us the best vino and the tasting room is open. His cup, not ours. His supper, we receive it with joy and thanksgiving. We're far from a perfect people, but because Jesus has come, we are a forgiven people. God is that patient that he keeps sending servants after servants, finally sending his Son to show how wonderfully patient he is to even hand his innocent one over to sinful, wicked tenants to see what would happen, knowing exactly what would happen. But knowing that that gift to them, giving over innocence to them, would strike in the hearts the fruits of repentance, faith, and love for God. That Christ has come with that kind of life and all his words being recorded for us. We hear them. We know exactly what happened, and that we killed him, or the earth sinners, means that through him alone, we too have his innocence through faith in what he has done because of his love for his brothers, becoming man like us, knowing temptations, knowing evil, and yet not giving into it, and giving us his life, and giving us his body and his blood, the fruits of his cross, as a gift, not by our works, but as his gift of righteousness through him, that we will rise and live with him, forgiven, renewed, refreshed, restored, God's beloved. We're far from a perfect people, but we are a forgiven people. Because Jesus is not only the son of the vineyard master, but the two are one. For us now, and even forevermore, Jesus is more than a prophet. He's more than a teacher, for he does all our homework. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us drink the fruits of his cup and go back into the world loving God and loving our neighbor. Even if you think your works and prayers are nothing more than two-buck chuck, because of Jesus, God sees your whole life as don perignon. And it's the only way to live. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith and love of Christ Jesus. Amen.